creative, at least, information and emotions. It's upon a common language that we build our societies. But we would be isolated intellectually and emotionally without language. The Austrian philosopher Ludwig Wittgenstein said that the limits of my language means the limits of my world. They're one and the same thing. And when we meet someone who doesn't speak our language, who doesn't share a language with us, we're stumped. We're met by that dreaded, impassable, unscalable thing that we call a language barrier. And if you've ever tried to communicate with somebody else through a language barrier, you'll know that it can feel very much as if you're hitting your head against a brick wall. It is a very physical concept in that sense. And I'm going to show you a clip now that you may recognize of some people trying to get around such a language barrier with quite amusing results. Bit of Fawlty Towers there, still a classic. As Basil demonstrates very well, it can be incredibly frustrating when you're trying to communicate with someone who doesn't understand what you're saying. But language is much deeper than the actual words we speak. Language is shaped by culture. A people's language is very closely related to their identity. It's like how different regions of England have different words for the same thing. I was very confused when I moved to the Wirral and found out that the word batch was used to mean a bread roll. But apparently, they're known by this name and many more across this country. Bap, roll, batch, bun, barn, cob, muffin, and even tea cake. And you know that you're home when you hear someone using the word that you use. There's a long-held urban myth that the Inuit people of northern Canada have many, many more words for snow than we have, because snow is all around them. And while it's a little bit of an exaggeration, and there's still a raging debate in the academic community about it, it shows how our environment and our culture shape the language we use. It shapes how we communicate with one another. And this is the kind of thing people are getting at when they use the phrase to speak my language. To speak someone's language in that sense is to say something or communicate in a way that aligns with somebody else's preferences or their desires or their motivations. You get on with someone who speaks your language like this. We find it much easier to communicate on a fundamental level, and we feel connected to them, and it makes it easier for us to be friends with them if they speak our language. My question to you this morning is, do you worry that God doesn't speak your language? Often, we can feel like God is remote or far away from us. Maybe you have no experience of God at all. Or the belief that God speaks in any way, in any language, real or metaphorical, is alien to you. Maybe you see other people engaging with God, living their lives with him, and you find it hard to do that. The God you read about and hear about isn't a God you feel able to connect with. It's not a God who speaks your language. We saw from our clip just how hard it is to communicate with people and to get on with them and be friends with them when we don't speak the same language. Do you feel like there's a language barrier between you and God? In our passage this morning that we saw from that wonderful multilingual video, we hear the fantastic story of Pentecost. The disciples are gathered together in Jerusalem when suddenly, as promised, the Holy Spirit comes and fills them, and they start praying in different languages, languages they did not know. And Pentecost happened during the Festival of Weeks, when the Jewish people celebrated the first fruits of the harvest. So Jerusalem was full of visiting worshippers, both native Jews and converts to Judaism. These people ran to where the disciples were praying because they heard, as Luke says, the wonders of God being proclaimed in their own language. And then when the crowd was gathered, slightly after what we heard, Peter spoke the first sermon of the church using scripture and his own testimony about Jesus to tell them that he had risen from the dead and he'd sent his Holy Spirit onto his people as prophesied by Joel. And that day, many of them in that crowd believed and the church was born. We heard that when the visiting Jews heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, is what the Bible says, because each of them heard their own language. Why did they do this? Why would they come together in such a fashion? I think it's not just because they each heard their own language, but because they heard their own languages spoken in Jerusalem. Remember, many of these people that we read about would have been converts to Judaism. They came from all over the known world. And while they had all the rights of native Jews under the law, they would still have felt alienated purely on the basis of the language they spoke. It's widely believed that there were two commonly used languages in Jerusalem, and that they were Aramaic and Hebrew. Aramaic for day-to-day talk, and Hebrew for prayer, worship, and scholarship in the temple. So these converts wouldn't have been speaking their native language, but crucially, they wouldn't have been worshipping God in their mother tongue either. They wouldn't have even expected to hear their language spoken in this place. But now, they're hearing people speaking about God, exclaiming his wonders in their own tongue. Can you imagine that? Standing in a completely foreign city and suddenly hearing somebody calling out loudly in English. It would be like a bolt out of the blue, an unexpected joy to hear your own language above the tumult of the crowd in such an alien and strange place. They wouldn't have felt so alone or isolated anymore. Immediately, in speaking their own language, the Holy Spirit is calling out to them personally. He's showing them his love and grace, and above all, his acceptance of them, even though they feel different from the others around them. All of a sudden, they're no longer aliens. They're family. God breaks down their physical language barrier. And this is true for us too. When we're feeling isolated, the Spirit of God calls out to us in ways that we understand, that we get, through the language of love that we respond to best, through words or pictures, through silence or no's, or alone or through friends, to tell us that we're not alone, but that we're loved and that we're cared for. But it wasn't just through hearing their own spoken language that God spoke to these visitors in Jerusalem. When the crowd was gathered, Peter spoke a punchy and powerful sermon, inspired by the Holy Spirit that was resting upon him. And afterwards, we're told that these people were cut to the heart when they heard people speak, and they desperately wanted to know what they should do to respond to this message. Again, why? Why did they respond in such a powerful way? I think it's not just because of what Peter spoke about, the sending of the Holy Spirit and Jesus' messiahship, but because of how the message was put across to them. We know that the crowd was full of God-fearing Jews. That's what the passage says. This means that they would have known the Old Testament scriptures inside and out. They would have known about Joel's prophecy about God pouring out his Holy Spirit. And they would have been eagerly waiting upon God's chosen one, the Messiah, to arrive. It had been 400 years since God last spoke through his prophets. So, given where they were at, the Holy Spirit gave Peter a sermon that would speak straight to their hearts. God spoke to them about himself and about Jesus in a language using concepts and ideas that they understood, that rang true with them, that resonated with their own beliefs. If they'd had a different background, the message would have been framed differently, like Paul does when he speaks to the Gentiles in Acts. But given where they were coming from, this is the message that spoke directly to them, so much so that they were cut to their hearts. God was speaking their language, as we discussed before. He had broken down that spiritual language barrier. This is how God speaks to us as well. Through the Holy Spirit, God uses language that we are familiar with to tell us about himself and about Jesus. He communicates to us through ways which work for us, with messages for each one of us. Because the gospel has so many different facets, that we're free from sin, we have identity in Christ, we're justified with him, we are adopted children of God, we're a new creation, justice has been done on the cross, we are being made perfect, we are saved from judgment. And it just goes on and on. There are parts of the gospel message which will resonate more deeply with us than others, that will deeply affect us. And it's through these different aspects of the gospel message that God speaks to us in a way that we understand and that makes sense to us. And that's because that this is what the Holy Spirit does. We're told that when praying in tongues in the power of the Spirit, the disciples were exclaiming the wonders of God. I'm fairly certain that these wonders of God that they were exclaiming would have been about Jesus. After all, the disciples had spent the last 3 years with him, seeing him die and rise again and ascend into heaven. And now they were waiting for the advocate, the Holy Spirit, that he'd promised them. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't just speak to us in a way that we understand, but he speaks to us in our own language about Jesus. In fact, that's one of the main roles of the Holy Spirit, to point us towards Jesus. John V. Taylor wrote a book that he called The Go-Between God. Even the title is significant, in which he writes that in every experience of meeting and recognition with God, the Spirit is always the go-between that creates awareness. It's the Spirit who brings us to the Father, Paul writes. It's the Spirit who relates us to Jesus, and it's only through the Spirit that we can recognize Jesus for who he is. It's only by the Spirit that we can call Jesus our Lord and our God. The reason that the Spirit points us to Jesus is because it's Jesus who is the center of our faith. It's all about him. We wouldn't be here without Jesus. We've seen how God, the Holy Spirit, breaks down the language barriers between us and him. He communicates to us in a way that we understand and that we get. But Jesus has broken down the biggest barrier of all between us and God, the barrier of sin. Jesus willingly went to the cross to remove this barrier for us by taking it upon himself. And when he was before the Jewish court called the Sanhedrin, who were the ones who were going to sentence him to death? As a sheep before its shearers is silent, Jesus refused to speak in his own defense. He stayed silent before his accusers so that we could be able to speak before God, who was once our accuser and is now our friend. This is because his silence led him to the cross. And after his death on the cross, Jesus ascended to heaven. Whereas Peter says in his sermon in Acts 33, exalted to the right hand of God, He received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured it out to you. Poured it out, what you now see and hear. And the Spirit, who is the inspirer and co-author of the Bible, who has been God's chosen go-between and messenger to his people from the beginning of time. The Spirit, who is the great linguist, now lives in us and speaks God's truths and grace and love to us in words that we understand and in a language that resonates with our own hearts. It is by the Spirit that we cry, Abba, Father. And when we don't have the words to say, it's the Spirit who intercedes for us with wordless groans. We couldn't come up to heaven, so in his grace, Jesus came down to us. We couldn't atone for our own sins, so in his grace, God made that atonement for us. And we can't speak God's language, so in his grace, at Pentecost, God the Holy Spirit came to earth to speak the language of God in our own language to us. God speaks your language. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the work he does in our lives every day that we don't even notice. And we thank you that it is the Holy Spirit who works in our hearts and points us towards Jesus, either for the first time or for the 100th time. Holy Spirit, speak to us today, Lord. Speak to us with words of love that we understand, that cut to our hearts, so that we can go out from here and speak that love and that grace of God to those we meet. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.